Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Y'all give some good love for the Lord. Y'all give some good love. Come on. Let's clap. Let's give God our best. I like to be loud, so you can go ahead and throw me up here in the monitors too, because I want to feel it. I want to feel it. But I'm excited to meet you. I'm excited to see what God's doing in your life. Let me tell you something. It's a process. You know, the great thing, there are supernatural things that God does, and then there are transitional things that God does. And a lot of times we want to try to get everything fixed at the altar. But we need to know that a lot of things begin at the altar, but they're solidified in our everyday choices. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens is we hear a speaker, or we hear Jason, or we hear Pastor David, or we hear a testimony from Blake, and it's like, man, all right, I'm done. I'm with porn. I'm done with depression. I'm done with abuse. I'm done with addiction. I'm done. But for anybody who's ever played any sport, learned any instrument, there was the initial commitment, but then there was, what were you going to do every day? And it's the every day that's hard for us. It's the every day taking our thoughts captive. Every day, you know, we've forgiven this person 10 times, but it's been 5 years since we've even thought about that issue. But we're just driving, and all of a sudden the enemy just brings that thought back. And you start rehearsing that argument all over again. And you're like, blood pressure's going up. You know what I'm saying? Your veins are starting to come out. You're like, yeah, call me. Call me right now. See what's up. I'm ready for you. And it's like, that happened like 5 years ago. Like, nobody's thinking about it but you. And so it's taking those thoughts captive every day is what we have to talk about. And I'm going to tell you, and you've heard it a couple times today, but men, God has a very specific plan for your life. Genesis tells us that we were created to tend and keep the garden. Now, you think about this. If Adam had not allowed the enemy to come in and seduce his wife, change what God had said. See, the enemy said to Eve, well, you're going to be like God, and there's stuff that God hadn't really showed you or told you yet. And so if you take this fruit and you eat it, then you'll know more. And here's the thing, is that if Adam and Eve had never sinned, and they hadn't given in and hadn't doubted in their heart what God had said, Adam would have had after marriage, he would have had a family. His kids would have had kids that would have formed a society, a nation. Adam would have learned more by managing more in the process of time. And can I tell you this? Anytime you think you're going to leap into your next season, the Bible does never, ever talk about leaps. It says the steps, come on somebody, of the righteous are ordered by God. And so if you were here thinking, I will never have that thought again, I will never think, you have already set yourself up for deception, and the enemy is already going to come and snatch from you, because while your heart is good, the practicality of that is wrong. Remember when Peter said, no, not on my watch, Jesus. Let me tell you something. Man, all of them may deny you, but let me tell you, I'm your boy, and if everybody starts throwing down, we're going to throw down, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to leave you. And what was Jesus' response? Get behind me, Satan. What? I'm Pete. I'm Rock. I'm Revelation. Remember just like a couple chapters back? I'm the one. Like, none of the other guy, Thomas, you know what I'm saying? Andrew, Peter, Revelation. You know what I'm saying? That's me. And so what we do is we get into a church setting and we immediately make all of these commitments, which are awesome, but a commitment without a plan leads to rejection. Come on, we're great at taking the swing, but we're bad at showing up for practice. We want the whole world to see We want to live on highlight reels. But the highlight reel only comes because you did stairs every day. And if we don't manage the everyday well, then what happens is, because we really, really wanted God to do something, and we forgot the everyday. See, that's why God said to Adam, tend and keep the garden. In other words, I have given you something that works. I want you to make it better. And I want every day when you wake up for you to put your hand to this. See, the thing is this. We believe a lie when we think that we can make a commitment and not put our hand to something and it produce. You're going to have, it's not a, man, there's 400 people here. This, man, when we start singing on and on, and we got all the man vibes going, you know what I'm saying? And we don't even like singing, but we're like, yeah! And we're like, man, yeah! But tomorrow, when it's just you in the truck, it sounded epic with all the men and the baritone and the bass. And man, you were like, ugh. But when it was you and you voice crack, you got laryngitis, you sound nasal, and you listen to yourself and you're like, oh God. It's the everyday that we have to do. God gave us everything that we need to win. However, are Christian men really winning? Let's get real. Let's get raw. Are we winning in our marriage? Are we winning in our parenting? Are we winning in our finances? Are we winning in our secret life? Are we winning in the everyday? Because I see men who are hiding. I see men that are too busy. I see men that are stressed. I see men that are heavy and weighed down by the pressures of the world. I see men that are arrogant, prideful. I see men that are full of secrets. My goal is not to make this heavy. My heart is to see men run to win and live the blessed life that God intended them to live. You know what? There's a reason you can't take a nap in a race. Because if you snooze, you... And so how crazy is it? Anybody ever play sports? Okay? Some of y'all like... Back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Now the only sport you play is food to mouth, you know what I'm saying? But that's cool, I'm mad at you. But, like I'm racing my kids. But we're going to go back to when you were the all-star, okay? How do you feel when the dude who never plays, okay? We're at the football game. We just made it to state. You've been remembering 2 days from the summer. You've come early. You've done extra. You hadn't had no Coke for the whole season. You on your diet. You know what I'm saying? You got your little calculator thing that tells how many steps you're taking. You're in it. It's the pep rally for the state game. Dude comes up and says, man, I'm so excited about the game. This dude don't play. This dude ain't show up for practice. This dude barely a part of the team. His only job is to keep the bench from flying up. And he's like, man, I'm hype. Oh, I'm hype. Hey, how about this? I'm going to be the first one that runs through the banner. I'm going to be the first. I'm going to bust through. I'm going to bust through the paper. We're going to run. Yeah. You're looking at, but then this ain't the Disney Channel. That's how I feel like a lot of believers are. We talk about the exceptional. We talk about the game. We talk about the supernatural. But we don't know how to do it every day. We know what God will do. But God is looking for someone who will do on their end. And I want to talk about this because I believe that God has supernatural freedom for you. I believe that there's freedom. And I want to pray and we're going to get into what God has for us. Come on, men. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you would move in this place. Holy Spirit, that you would have your way. God, that we're not looking for a good word. We're not looking for a pep rally. We're not looking for something that just stimulates our excitement. But God, we're looking for a bondage breaking, stronghold removing moment with you. God, that will open up the next chapter of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about food, and I know we just got done having a man fest back there with the fish. I saw some of you go through the line three times. You know, but anyway, when you think about food, I don't know what one of the guys in the back was like, it was me. It was me. But here's the thing is when I say food, what do you think? You know, you could think man portion. My sister was with us. We were doing some stuff with my mom. She's elderly. And she was moving. And I remember her and I being in the car. She's from California. And, you know, she drives a little car. And so my knees are up here. You know, and she's kind of tooting around. And I'm just like, hey, I'm hungry. Let's get something to eat. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm so hungry. And I'm like, all right, great. What are we going to eat? I'm thinking like, you know, a super biggie. You know what I'm saying? Two fists. I'm thinking, let's get some food. And she's like, I think I just want some cheese and crackers. I look at her and I'm like, that's a snack. Okay, it's lunchtime. We got to eat lunch. We got to eat a meal. We're going to die. You know what I'm saying? That's a snack. When you think about food, you may be, like when I said the word food, you may be going, oh, like you know what I'm saying? Like you ate so much catfish, you unbutton the top button, don't even play. You know what I'm saying? You did it like it was Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? You kind of got the extra 6 inches out. You kind of full. Oh. Some of you are like, you know, you're on like this lettuce wrap diet. You know what I'm saying? You go in to buy a hamburger and you ask, can you put it in two pieces of lettuce for me, please? I'm just watching the bread intake. We start thinking about food. Some of you are like, I need a snack. Some of you are thinking about M&Ms right now. M&M, dear God, I need some M&Ms. Thank you, Jesus. My point is this, however you process the word food, there are many different directions that you can take on it. And while there are many different directions that we can go, my goal is that you today would run to win, and I want to talk about freedom. And when we talk about freedom, there's 1,000 thoughts that we can have about freedom. But my goal is that you focus and have the determination to win. And to do that, you've ultimately got to be free from the heaviness that so entangles us. Listen, true freedom is moving forward into what we were created to be. Freedom is one of the major themes of the gospel. When we read time and time again, that the yoke of sin, the bondage that happens. Listen, we have a loving Father that came to set us free. Come on, somebody. Galatians 5:1 says this, for freedom Christ has set us free. And then what does it say? Stand firm. Look at someone and say, stand firm. No, no, no. Give them that man basically punk. Stand firm. Everybody wants to sing a song about freedom, but no one wants to stand. Everyone wants to get it in a Shandai, but no one wants to get it in every day. The Bible is very clear. There are supernatural moments that change our life, but everything that God gives you, He gives you in seed form. He doesn't give it to you in maturity, and you will have to grow it. You'll have to grow it. And so it says this, check this out. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free. regardless of how you feel, regardless of what people say, regardless of people who won't forgive you, regardless of those people who look down at you because they know your past, those who are set free are set free. See, there is a great difference between natural freedom that our culture promotes and supernatural freedom that allows us to mature into believers. Natural freedom is this. I don't want no guidelines. I don't want no control. I want to be left alone. I will not submit to anybody. Nobody has authority over me. And ultimately, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That's natural freedom. And so that's the freedom that we see on Fox News and CNN and NBC is let us alone. We don't want nobody telling us what we want to do. Let us do whatever we want to do. Let us love who we want to love. Let us act how we want to. Who are you to tell me? Just let me be free. That thought is direct opposition to God's thought. See, listen, supernatural freedom says this. There is a God who set forth a path to redeem us. His Son died on a cross so that morally, spiritually, we could win. But this only happens as we submit to His Lordship and we become obedient. And the more obedient we become, the more freedom we walk in. Does this make sense? It's like your car. You bought the car. You pay for the car. It's my car. I'm going to do whatever. I can't tell me what I'm going to do in my car. I'm going to play what I want to play. I'm going to drive with the seat. You can't tell me. There is a manual on how to run the car. You can put orange juice in the tank if you want. You can't tell me. Man, if I want to put OJ in it, man, I pay for this. That's my car. Uh-huh. You're free to put whatever you want, but you're also free to walk. You know what I'm saying? Because after a while, you can't put in what you want and expect it to function the way it was created. Does that make sense? Listen, God has a plan. And as a pastor, my heart breaks when I see men who were still under the yoke of a broken life, pretending, still dealing with insecurities, still got daddy issues. You're 40, still got daddy issues, disconnected, won't submit to nobody. And if anybody says anything to you, you get offended, you get mad, and you go to another church. Hey, you know what? I didn't see you. I was there. All you pastors are like, you just want my money? I got to wear a name tag in this church? Come on. We live offended, addicted, prideful. And then because we're not what we need to be, we demand everybody else to be better. I know men that are demanding and upset that their wives will not pray with them. Well, you know, you just got to pray for my wife because I want her to pray. You know what? I just feel like the enemy's coming in. She won't pray. I'm just trying to tell her, you need to read your Bible more. You need to read. Whoa, 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 whoa. Check out, homie. Why don't you pick up your clothes, pay your bills, go to work on time, and stop being Jesus for your wife? And why don't you lead her by getting up at 6 o'clock and read your own Bible? Trying to make whoosh, tell you what happened in my house, that whip would be turned around. Listen, you as a man lead the way. You don't demand the way. Yeah, you're tougher. Yeah, you're stronger. Yeah, you can lay it down. But the problem is you can't pull a horse into a stall, but you can lead it. And some of us are trying to pull our kids and lead our kids, and you're frustrated because I'm trying to do it right, but you're doing it wrong. And you can get mad. Well, I just don't think you're right. Read the word. He leads us by what? Still water. He don't kick us. He don't say, I will Jackie Chan you by still waters. I will DX you. Come on. He leads us. There are even scriptures in the Bible where it talks about that God leads us from behind to help make our way straight. Come on, are you leading your children? Are you demanding them? Are you leading your wife? Are you leading the people you work with? Are you demanding? Man, everybody here, y'all have potty mouth, man. Y'all going to hell. Come on. Come on. I want to get into one scripture. Y'all okay? Can we go a little bit more? Y'all good? Mark chapter 5, verse 1. This is kind of where I want to stay, and this is kind of what I want to talk about today. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And I guess what we're talking about is we're talking about freedom. See, freedom involves breaking those generational issues off our life. Freedom involves where love can flourish and insecurities can be healed. Where deception and greed are no longer the tools that we use to move forward. Where addictions can be overcome. Where we see transformation in our lives. And where satanic oppression is removed. Because the Word of God is living and active in our life. And we need to talk about this. Maybe you're new to the faith and you're just trying to understand what this is all about. And can I tell you, a Christian is the most free when they are completely submitted to the Lord. There's a great freedom for you. This guy named Jesus flipped the script. He changed the game. That's what he did. He changed it. He's the Son of Almighty God. He entered earth as a man and was offered for a payment for your jacked up, selfish, prideful ways. And the Bible calls those ways sin. We all have. You calling me a sinner? Yep. I don't sin. I think people are basically good. No. Put two kids in one room and give them one toy and watch what happens. That's how MMA was invented. We just started watching kids fight. Kids come running, jumping off the wall. Over a bouncy ball. Listen. You can live a self-led life or you can lead a spirit-led life. The self-led life we've all experienced. It's full of broken promises and pain. And sure, it seems fun for a while, but in the end, it's destruction. And you may be in a season where maybe you're a young person and your parents have invited you to be a part of church and you're just waiting for your time when you can run buck wild and go crazy. And here's what you need to know. There were around 300 men that have already tasted that and said, this is it. And I am praying that you find it. That you don't have to go out and do something stupid before you find out that, you know what, this life is the best life. Listen, the Bible makes it clear that there will be moments of adversity that hit all of us. Some are by our choices, some are by other choices, and some are demonic forces. And that's just, it's in the Bible. The Bible teaches us about demons, evil spirits of the world that interfere in our life. But we are overcomers. Come on, somebody. Freedom is a continual choice that you will have to make. In Mark chapter 5, verse 2, and when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, for he had been bound with shackles and chains. But he ripped the chains apart, and he broke the shackles to pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountain, he was lying, crying, cutting himself with stones. Dang. It doesn't say dang. I'm just like, dang. And when he saw Jesus from afar, come on, check this out. And when he saw Jesus from afar. Now, I want you to stop because I got to get down here where y'all live. Because what I want you to see is that in that current society, they had tried every system, every government program. Uh-oh. The men had gotten together, the board, the city, the delegates. They had tried to chain him. They tried to hold him. They tried to talk to him. They tried to give him 10 steps and a t-shirt. They tried to do all that they could do, but they couldn't hold this man. This man was jacked up. Chains couldn't hold him. You couldn't reason with him. He was out in the tomb. Parents couldn't even go visit grandma because homeboy was up there. Now check this out. At night, he would cut himself with stone. Can you imagine being a dad in your tent, hut, whatever? You're rocking back then, and all of a sudden, and Johnny goes, "Wow, Dad, that was a deep one." You don't think the town started talking about this dude who could not, I mean, a guy who cannot be chained? I mean, I've seen some good stout fellas here. You know what I'm saying? I've seen some guys that, you know what, if we meet, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to let you pass. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you're a big boy. You're a cornbread fed husker. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, meat and potatoes did you well. I'm like, dang. And you're telling me that they couldn't hold this guy? Like, I mean, I know it wasn't 2016, but I know they know how to tie a knot. And you're saying that they cannot chain him? Like, they cannot, like they don't want to, or they can't. And the Bible says they couldn't. When they tried, he would break it off. He'd break off every entrapment, everything that would try to fix him. They tried to break through everything. And here's the deal. Maybe you are sitting here and you've tried everything. You tried to count to 10 and it wasn't enough. You tried to slow down and hum, and all you did is like come up with songs. You were supposed to be humming. And none of it worked. But then there was that day when this man comes out of the boat, hits the shore. But check this out. The man who could not be tamed submitted. The man who could not be tamed. I mean, can you imagine being on set? I mean, if Fox News was there, you know what I'm saying? If NBC was there, because they would be there. You know, Jesus walking out on the boat. You know what I'm saying? There was just a storm. It was crazy. And all over the cameras. And here he is, the Christ, the so-called Messiah, is walking out. And as he steps out, you start panning the camera to the crazy dude who's like, running down the hill. And you're like, oh, it's going to be on now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like worse than the Trump debate. You know what I'm saying? We're about to get this thing. There'll be a squabble. People are going to fight. It's going to be great. What's Jesus going to do? And the guy who could not be tamed sits down. We don't really know what's happening here. Hold on. What do you think is happening? Well, I think that he's just sitting. This is actually here. We have people confirming we've never seen him sit before. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, I want to give you three thoughts about this story. The first one is this. Jesus has the answer for a broken life. Come on, somebody. Jesus has the answer for a broken life. And listen, Jesus did not step out and start to try to assess his issues. He did not, well, hold on now. Okay, now who is your dad? Now what did he do? Now can you tell me a little bit about your father? You know what? He threw you up and dropped you. He never caught you? Never. Okay, now tell me a little about your mother. You don't know your mother. Peter? I mean, it was none of that. He didn't march. I mean, here Jesus has got a big ministry. Man, people, he's just been feeding 5,000, 4,000. This dude is on fire. And all of a sudden, this messy person. Come on, a messy. Hey, Pete, you see that guy? Move him to the side. Our churches have to do better at dealing with messy people if we want to see freedom. See, here's the deal. Let me tell you something. Don't go to a perfect church. And I'm not talking bad against any church, but I am telling you this. I believe in the church. I believe that we are all the body of Christ. I believe there are great pastors and ministers. But here's the thing. If we don't have a door that will open up to the broken, and we only want transfers and tithers, then we will never be the facilitators of seeing people be set free. Listen. Jesus did the ministry. And here's what I want you to see in Mark 5:15. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one that was demon possessed. Look at this. That had a legion. I can't even go into that. Sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. People walk up and see you in Walmart. Is that the killer? Is that the one who sells drugs to children? Is that the one that has to pass? And you walk up and go, hey, it's good to see you. I've been praying for your family. And they're like, clothed in your right mind. Come on, somebody. Transformation. Second thing is this. Freedom happens in your life as you give up. This dude gave up. He was just like, man, what are we going to do? Man, what? There was no fight. There was no struggle. There was no your mama jokes. It was just... Some of you cannot receive from your church because you're too busy criticizing it. You want a perfect pastor, and you know what? You don't get a perfect pastor. You get a man who's called by God, trying to do it the best he can, and you just got to let it go. And God will be able to teach you something if you don't have to bust out every hermeneutic and every, well, you know what it says in the Greek? Shut up! Just sit down and submit to the process and let God do a work in your life. But we don't need people, and we are a history of people. We know what the president should do. We know what Obama should do. We know what Trump should do. We know what Hillary should do. We know what the coach should do. We know what all of the coaches in the SEC should do. We know what the pastor should do. But we ain't doing nothing. Sit down. Catch a seat. Woo. We almost took that somewhere we didn't want to go. I kind of almost had an ass moment. Listen, freedom happens when you give up. Come on, give up. Stop trying to be. You won't let the pastor speak into your life because you're prideful or because your last church hurt your feelings. And so when someone talks, you're raising critical children. You go home on Sunday and all you do is talk about how the worship wasn't good and this wasn't good and that wasn't good now. And you want them to come and serve the Jesus and you're criticizing. Come on, somebody. It's time to stop. Honor. Show honor. Submit to the process. Listen, to experience freedom in your life, and we're talking about give up, there will be three things that you will have to give up. You will have to give up your arrogance, your ignorance. People are ignorant. And listen to what I'm saying. Biblically illiteracy, being biblical illiterate, people only know phrases of verses of where they came out of. So if you're a Baptist, you know some about salvation. If you're a Methodist, you know a little bit about grace. If you're a charismatic, you know about give me. But we're not studying to show ourselves approved, and we're not transforming our mind. And here's the deal. My mom, she had cancer, and then we got through that, and she was on a treadmill, and I don't know why she was on the treadmill. She was on the treadmill, slipped and fell, broke both shoulders. 71. And I'm trying to figure out and talk to the VA because she served in wartime. And I'm trying to figure out all these benefits and things. And you know what? I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know where to start. But just because I didn't know didn't mean it wasn't available. And some of you, you were fighting and you don't know what's available for you in Christ because you're not learning. And if you want to be free, you cannot be ignorant. The second thing is this. You can't be arrogant. Come on, you don't know it all. You don't know it all. You may have been around the block. You may have 10 years ago started a church plant. You may have helped this. You may have done that. You may have started a business. You may have done all that. But let me tell you something. For the man who knows it all, he cannot be taught. And I would rather walk in humility. Come on, somebody. And birth humility, then I would act like I have to puff myself up and I have like a short man complex and I have to be the man for everyone and nobody can teach me nothing. When your wife talks, well, that's just your mother talking. When your kids talk, well, you got that from your mom. And pretty much, we're always right. We never lose an argument. And that's why our blessings are small. Come on, somebody. If you want to be free, we got to give up some arrogance. The last one is dominance. Dominance. Who is really in control? When you speak, Jesus said, everything that you hear me say comes from the Father. In other words, I'm submitted to him. Come on, if our responses were more like Jesus and less like us, people would show up to our birthday party. Come on, we got to give up some dominance. The last one, the third one, is with freedom comes ministry. And I want you to see this right here. Jesus radically changed this man's life. There was nothing in this man's life that had the authority to hold him, that he was no longer going to be held captive by any other spirit, voice, issue, lack. And when he is healed and when he is restored, check this out. Y'all look at me. In verse 19. It says this guy got healed. People came and saw it. People were like, man, what happened?
And this guy wanted to go with Jesus and be trained by Jesus. And here's what it says. And he, Jesus, did not permit, 19, him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them about how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. God's goal is not that you just are free. God's goal is that everything God does in you, he's doing through you. And if he frees you, then there's a story behind that. And the Bible says that people overcome by the, come on somebody, by the word of their testimony. And God is not giving you something so that you can feel better about yourself. This ain't where everybody gets a trophy. Come on, God is doing something in your life so that you can speak life and hope into someone else who is about to give up. Stop acting like it's all for you. It's not all for you. It's for your kids. It's for their kids. It's for three generations. And come on, somebody needs to step up and get some freedom. This man got healed, was set right, and was commissioned to go out. Go be the one. Go do it. Come on, go do it. You may be the only one saved in your family, but by God, I'm going to take somebody with me. I may have blown it with four kids who don't talk to me, but I got one who does. And I'm going to do for one what I wished I could do for all of them. Some of you are living under so much regret that you are failing to see your opportunities. It's time to get some freedom. God is wanting to move you into ministry. I'm not saying move out of your job, but I'm saying, listen, there's something you do to work, to live, but there is something bigger in you. And every man in here should be touching ministry. Every man should be mentoring someone. Every man should be helping somebody. Every man, come on, if we brought in single moms, man, how come church has a hard time finding men that will usher and greet and open the doors and set up and do? Come on, guys. You want freedom so that you can watch Netflix and not watch bad stuff? God, I just want freedom so I can watch any PG-13 movie and not feel bad. No, my freedom is to go speak life into someone else. And so you look at me and you think, well, how can you relate? I was adopted from a foster home. My parents got divorced. My dad at 7 walked out. I had ADHD. I graduated high school when I was 20. When I graduated high school, I had a fourth grade reading level. I went to college and you had to have a 2.5 to stay. And in my first semester, I made a 1.1. Since then, from that day to this day, I have written 2 books. I have sold over 8,000 copies. I've been married for 13 years. I have 4 kids. I'm a pastor and I have a ministry. And there were some times when I was traveling that I would be speaking up to 7,000 people in 1 year. Come on, I don't care what it's been. But I was insecure and I was hard. And I'd have fought you on a dime. Even now, when people look at me in my car, I'm having to stop myself because I think they're looking at me and, man, we will throw down right here. I will run my car. I don't care. I'm a pastor. I will beat you and then ask for your forgiveness. My point is, I still got some issues, and God's still working out some things in my life, and I'm not perfect, but I had an experience. that I was free. And then I learned how to live that every day. And I guarantee you, where you can go is somewhere you can be proud of. And I believe somebody here needs some freedom. Somebody here, you're done playing a game. Someone here, you're done. You're too churchy. Oh, hallelujah. You're too churchy. You're learning how to be churchy, but you're not learning how to be spirit-led. And there's a difference. I don't care if you ever say amen, but you live, so be it. You live, so be it. And so I have two thoughts today as we're done. Are you running to win, or are you talking like you're running? Come on, as men, the fish was that big. You caught a frog. And you named it Trout. So you said you caught a trout. Come on. It's time. If you're not even in this race, you need to meet Jesus, who is the author and finisher, and is the one that will help you begin. And if your pace has slowed because of regret, because of horrible moments, because of great tragedy, I want you to know that God is a redeemer for anything that's broken. You guys stand up with me. Come on. We're going to sing this real quick. Y'all lead us in this. And then we're going to do some ministry. So y'all help me. We're going to sing this. Come on over here. I don't know if we can turn down the lights a little bit. But come on, let's have an atmosphere of worship in this place, where you get real and raw with God, where you begin to be authentic. Come on, man. Let's pray over here. Do you need this mic? All right, go ahead. Y'all start. I'm going to keep talking.